living off the spread is just really just changing how money flows. Do what the banks do. You know, the banks, brokerages, they're teaching you to give them your money so mm-hmm. they can go lend it out to someone else at a way higher interest rate. What if you had the ability to live off the spread and say, you know what, I want to cut out the middleman?
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast. And today I have a co-host, Tammy Brennan. And so I asked Tammy to come onto this podcast for me because I had so much fun doing my first podcast ever where she was a host and I was a guest. And I had so much fun. It got me out of my shell, sitting in a corner, just afraid to. Yeah, I don't like video, I don't like cameras, I don't like microphones and podcasts. At least I love listening to them, I just don't like being on the other side. But I had so much fun talking about all the movements I've been a part of in the financial side and what I do and why I like doing what I do as the engineer of finance, working with clients and educating people on money, that I said, hey, Tammy, will you please be my co-host, because I love our dialogue. And she always asks me questions, I don't want to say that catch me off guard, but that allow me to think in a different way, to explain something in a different way to people that are listening. And so today's title is, I could have 500 different titles, but today is really about, I want to talk about, I always get asked about, you know, how to create real wealth, how to create money. Like, and so today's topic is going to be on the spread. And so that's today's title on the podcast, The Spread. And it's essentially describing in a very simple way, and not to oversimplify, because it really is simple, is as you look around, it doesn't matter what city you're in, look at the biggest skyscrapers that you see, the biggest, most impressive buildings, and look at the names on those buildings. They typically have a name of a brokerage or a broker-dealer or a bank. And so there's something fundamentally that they do so well, that creates so much wealth to create those skyscrapers, and the clients that they teach and educate on money come out with a couple homes, a house. And so there's something that the banks and the brokerages do that is contrary to what I would argue is that they teach their clients. And so what I like to do with my clients is I just like to teach them what they do, and they can do it themselves. So don't do what they're telling you to do. Why don't you just do what they're doing? And so that's kind of the topic today, is the spread. So Tammy, being the co-host, now I'm like a guest on my own show. So now you get to ask me all these questions because you have really good ones. And I hope we'll have a lot of fun. And I love the energy talking with you and working with you. So thanks, Tammy. So ask away.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, the spread. First of all, I love the title, and I'm curious, what actually does it refer to? When you say the spread, what are you referring to?
So when I'm talking about the spread, I'm just talking about the difference in interest rates. And so really, I'm good to explain this on a whiteboard, because I love drawing. I'm a horrible artist, but I love drawing circles and stick figures and arrows. And I always laugh because I get I earn my electrical engineering degree. I get my civil engineering degree. You know, I'm licensed as a professional engineer, and I did all that so I can draw real fun circles and arrows and stick figures and smiley faces to communicate about money. So the spread is essentially, you know, that's how banks make money. And so when people go, "What's the spread?" So that's how banks make money. And so I can envision a family or household. They take their $100,000 and go to any brick and mortar bank that you see in your city, in your town. You take that family gives them, or just inject yourself. You just put your $100,000 in that savings account, and what's that brick and mortar bank going to give you back, right? So the three real ways of making money in the world or in the U.S. is that, you know, you've got earned income, right? You're trading your time, your energy, your efforts, your skills for money per hour or a salary. So that's earned income, and then you got residual income, where you create systems, like you create a company, you've got, you know, several employees or numerous employees, where if you go out on vacation for a week or two, it's still going to make you money, but there's a lot of effort. You put systems in place, but you've got you've got some duplication. And then you've got passive income, where your money, you've got all these little financial slaves working for you, or you've got dollars making you more dollars. And so that's where you start really accruing incredible wealth, is all those three things, you know, earned income, residual income, and passive income. And so going back to talking about a brick and mortar bank, you just envision this family putting $100,000 into a bank because, yeah, I really like the idea of passive income, compound interest. I'm going to get my money to work for me. And so you put your $100,000 in that bank, and I ask clients, what's your bank give you in your savings account? What do you get here? And you want to take a guess what the, didn't even answer your question yet, but it's getting there. You want to take a guess what the typical number is they come back with, what percentage they're getting per year from their in their savings account?
Maybe 8%.
How much?
8% is what 8%. I would guess.
Oh my gosh. I would stop what I'm doing and I would be putting all my money into that bank for savings. So 8% is what typically people would define as an investment return, a strong return. But yeah, the typical answer, and by the way, there's no wrong answer, by the way, right? There's no wrong answer. So
except that one.
No, that's a great answer. I would, you know, maybe in the 80s, but most the typical response I get here in the Reno Tahoe area is, I don't know nothing. And it's like, no, actually, and most of the banks, and I kind of tease the banks, but I'm really grateful for them. I love my being able to use my credit cards. I love my debit cards. I love that kind of liquidity that they offer. It's so nice. But yeah, my savings account and very typical, I get a whopping 0.10%. That's 0.10%. And that's quite often the case. Real close to there, with prospective clients and clients that come in and we're working on stuff, it's about 0.10. Or one of my other accounts, it's literally 0%. And so the spread is like, so you envision this family putting $100,000 in because, yeah, a lot of people don't have the tolerance for losing their money. They don't want to lose their money. And so they put it into the bank and they put it in the savings account and they're getting their whopping 0.10% in a brick and mortar. Now, if you look at, you go to the more virtual environments, you know, there's some banks on the websites where, depending, I mean, you can see them at 0.50 and 0.75 and maybe up to 1. But your typical local bank that you can go in and out, you're looking at 0 to 0.10. Mm-hmm. I got a call about a year ago on a Saturday. I answered the call and it was one of my banks saying, hey, we got this great promotional offer and we're going to bump if you change to a new account, which some of these banks love getting into new accounts all the time, so just keeping the one you have, we will give you an additional 0.10%. I'm like, holy cow, you're going to double me from a tenth of a percent up to 0.20? And he goes, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to raise you from 0.10 to 0.11%. And I'm like, I just started belly laughing. I started belly laughing so hard. Like, you got to be kidding me. You just lost me money telling me that in the last 3 minutes. So, and guys, just so everyone listening to this podcast. So let me just kind of visualize $100,000 and I'll break it down on the math. And it's really simple math. And tests are always easy once you know the answers. And so the spread is you got $100,000. This family puts $100,000 in their brick and mortar bank. 0.10% return by the end of the year, going a whole year. Now I'm going to put my co-host. She's not going to co-host anymore. Yeah. I'm going to put her on the spot. I'm going to put her on the spot. So Tammy, what's 1%? What's one? I have a feeling this last time she's going to co-host. Right. So what is 1% of $100,000?
I'm pulling out my calculator right now. Oh,
that's cheating. That's cheating.
Well, if I did it right on the calculator, it's $1,000.
Okay. Yeah, perfect, right? That's perfect. So 1%, and then I'd like to break it down, just chop off a couple of zeros. So 1% of 100 would be $1, right? And so add a few zeros there. And so now 1% of 100,000 would be $1,000. But this is a tenth of a percent. So now take that 1,000 divided by 10.
Okay. And I'm assuming you get it.
Please, Please tell me what your calculator says, please.
I can actually do that one, and yeah. Hopefully I'm right. It's 100.
Yeah, see, what I love, this is what I love, talking with you, is that you're just so honest and sincere. No one would have known you were whipping out a calculator. You could have just said, oh, that's easy, Ken. It's 1,000. You know, it's $1,000. So, but yeah, so you take 1,000, divide it by 10, and now you got 100 bucks. And so, hey, here you go. You guys are going to be rich and retired real soon. Take 100 grand. This family is going to be rich. They throw 100 grand, throw it into that bank account, and they're getting a whopping $100 per year. Wow. Yeah. Wow, they're rich. And it's like, no. So it's like, no, they're not, right? So that's not going to go very far. The $100, $100,000, that doesn't seem like such a great strategy. But when you look at from the bank perspective and you look at how we're educated on money, typically, where do we learn about money, right? Where do we go to learn? And so I still didn't answer your question on the spread, but where did you learn about money when you're a kid? I mean, did you learn about money in elementary school? Like how money works?
No, we grew up on a farm, and so we had sheep and pigs. We had 4-H projects, basically. And we had a little side milk business. We sold milk to our neighbors. That's where I learned about money.
How to earn it.
Right.
Income.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah, I always tell people that the sooner a child or an adult, right, you hope they learn as a child, can learn to appreciate time and money, the better off they are, right? Because you understand when you're trading that kind of time, that kind of effort to make money, you really, really appreciate it, don't you?
Yep, absolutely.
As opposed to when it's just handed to you.
Yep.
You know, I should have said there's a fourth way of making money, right? You've got earned income, you got residual, you got passive. Well, there's a fourth way. I mean, you inherit it, right?
Right.
But unfortunately, it's not usually a blessing unless they're educated and trained by their parents. That money is usually gone very, very quickly. It was never earned.
Yeah.
It was never earned. And so so you learned how to earn income being on a farm. I always a dream. I grew up in Morristown, New Jersey, and I always thought it'd be so cool to be like a rancher, work on a farm. And I just thought that was so fascinating because I love being outdoors. And but anyway, that's another tangent. So that's a cool experience. And so you're trading time for money, learning, earn income. So how about high school? Did they teach you did they tell you what to do with the money? Did high school, elementary school, college teach you?
No, I think I might have had a class in personal economics in high school, but it certainly wasn't the real world class and teachings that you think it might have been.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, I ask that question all the time, and I look at myself. It's like, you know, typically, I'm a guest speaker at the university here in Reno. I'll talk about money, what I've learned, and everything I've learned was essentially do it all the wrong way. It's like, hey, learn from me.
Right.
Don't do it the wrong way. Do it the right way now. And trust me, I've been on both sides, and more money is a lot better than less money.
Right.
And trust me, it's energy. It's just what you do with it. If you're a jerk, you're going to be a greater jerk. If you're a great person, you're going to be a greater person. That's it. It's just a multiplier. It's just a multiplier. So where do we learn about money? Typically, in my experience, talking to a lot of clients, prospective clients, and guest speaking and talking to audiences and getting feedback, the majority of the time, the answer is I didn't learn in elementary school, didn't learn anything in high school about it, didn't learn it in college. And so I either learned it from my parents, right? Yeah. We've either learned it from our parents, or we've learned it from a financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And not to disparage the industry, I always like, you know, unfortunately, I mean, there's some brilliant financial advisors out there. And there's also a lot of financial advisors out there that don't really educate about money. They're just very hardworking, charismatic people that are salespeople for the brokerages and the banking industry.
Right.
They're there to sell a product.
Right.
And so that's how we typically learn about money. I'm not anti-bank. I just want you to understand how they make money. And the way they make money is on that spread. And so that family is making a whopping $100 on that $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, that bank, they're saying, hey, yeah, save your money here. It's safe. It's safe. And it's federally insured. And up to, I think they raised it to $250,000 after 9/11 to create, so we feel safer. On that money, and then they'll literally take that $100,000 and go lend it to that family's neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
so she can go get a Tesla.
Right.
And they'll lend that $100,000, and I really mean literally lend it. And so that, and they'll lend it at, say, just looking at simple interest alone, or just interest only at 4.1%, right? Mm. And so 4.1% for a $100,000 auto loan, does that seem like to you a fair interest rate?
It depends on the time, right?
It's all relative, but I would say, yeah. I mean, for now, I would argue 4.1 is pretty fair. I'm sure there's lower. But if you take 4.1, and this is the spread, finally I get to the answer. The 4.1, you're living off the spread, is the banks make money off the spread. So they're giving this family $100 a year, and they're earning $4,100 minus that $100. So they're netting $4,000 a year on whose money?
Yeah, yours.
That's right. Now, if you look at a business model, and it's not, I'm not looking at a spiritual sense, but I mean, if you just look at money, can you think of a more profitable industry in the world than the banking industry?
Yes, life insurance.
Yeah, right. So the banks, financial industry, life insurance companies, insurance companies, sure. All right, that's a...
did you want me to say the stock market?
No, I would argue that that is the first. This is where you always catch me off guard. I always am answered, no, I cannot think of a more profitable business.
I might not be the right co-host for you after all.
You're perfect. I love it because it's always a different way of looking things. And so I enjoy that paradigm. But I would say you're the first out of how many years of doing this. It's like truly... when the banks, they're making money on whose money, right? Your money or yeah. OPM. For me personally and everyone else I've talked to, they cannot think of a more profitable industry than one that can take not even their own money, lend it out to someone else, and in this case of a 4% net spread, make $4,000 a year.
Right. It's turning, and just one person's money.
Yeah, that's right. That's turning lead into gold. And so living off the spread is just really just changing how money flows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and so what I like to teach people is just learn to live off the spread. Do what the banks do. You know, the banks, brokerages, they're teaching you to give them your money so mm-hmm. they can go lend it out to someone else at a way higher interest rate. What if you had the ability to live off the spread and say, you know what, I want to cut out the middleman? Right. I mean, I don't even care if you stuff it under your mattress, but if you had the ability to go lend out to your neighbor, right? Say you had a neighbor that you knew for sure. I mean, I really mean you knew for sure was going to pay you back. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you just rather lend to your neighbor? And I'm just going to, interject you. It's no longer a family. I'm just going to say, Tammy, wouldn't you rather take your $100,000, lend it to your neighbor so she can go buy her Tesla?
Yes.
And you get your 4%?
Yes. I would love that.
I got a question from a computer engineering student a couple weeks ago that listened to my pilot podcast, right? And he was asking if I could explain a little bit what I meant by the flow of money. That was one of his questions. And so all I meant is by changing how money moves, how it flows, by cutting out the bank from that equation and just a private person like Tammy doing business next door, helping someone. It's a win-win, isn't it? She really wants that Tesla.
Right.
And you really would like 4% over 0.1.
Right.
That's coming more to finance. That's getting you closer to financial independence. That's what's getting you way closer to financial freedom. And what's so encouraging, if I can go and help out 10 individuals, 10 families a month, I mean, I'm really simple-minded. I just want to change 10 families on a one-on-one basis per month over the next year. That's 120 families. Or individuals, that's 1,200 people in 10 years that just teaching this message, right? Face to face, working with them. If they just learn to live off the spread, it would change their life. And I don't care if they're stuffing that money in the mattress, just on that one example.
Right.
And so, but that's living off the spread is getting, putting your stuff into a vehicle. Some type of, it could be a savings vehicle, investment vehicle, or just lending peer-to-peer next to your next-door neighbor. You know, just helping her get her dream car and she's willing to give you 4% interest. You get your 4%. And matter of fact, if you had a choice and you could have that 4% every year, would you rather cap that at for 5 years and get principal and interest? Or would you be interested in having that kind of equation for the next 10 years and just be interest only?
I think 10 years.
Pretty nice instrument.
Yeah.
And you know for sure she's going to pay you back right on that Tesla. And I would also argue, get a first position lien on that house that says that if she owns one, saying, hey, if you don't pay me back on the car, we have to sell the house. And that's a really safe way to play the game or secure it with the car. But that's what the banks do. The banks are so good at living off the spread. They give out their 0.10 and higher or higher, and then they go lend it out at 4 or 5%. And I'm a perfect example of not understanding the spread. You know, I go give my money to the banks when I was 22, tie it up into these IRAs until I'm dead at 59 and a half. I can't touch it. At least that's how I saw it. Didn't make sense. And then a month later, hey, Ken, you got great credit, great income, working for the telephone company. At the time, I was an outside plant design manager. You should go get a 30-year mortgage, get a house. And so, I mean, it sounds real simple, but the reality is by changing how that money flowed and me not understanding the spread at the time, I gave up control of my money for 30 years through these qualified plans, IRAs. And then a month later, they just lent it right back to me. Right. And they made interest on all angles. So that's the spread. That's the spread.
And the flow.
Yeah, they got everything. They got control. They got my money. And they gave it back to me in doses, right? So, so there's all these other things that will come out on a future podcast. But I really wanted, and I should tie this to the spread, by the way. So that's how banks make great money. They love contracts. They love saying, hey, here's the terms. Here's a 5-year payment plan. Here's a 10-year payment plan. Here's a 30-year payment plan on a mortgage at a defined interest amount, and you're agreeing to pay back at this amount on a monthly basis.
Right.
It's so good. It works. It's such a brilliant model on the spread. So that's why they have skyscraper after skyscraper after skyscraper on such a simple system. That's it. That's like one piece, but that's how you can start creating real wealth, is just living off the spread. One thing I want to tie to, and yeah, we are almost, wow, I have an incredible ability to fold time. And I do this all the time. When I'm working with people, I have so much fun teaching about all this stuff, because it really, once you pull back, it sounds a little trite saying that, you hear this all the time, but once you pull back that curtain, right, and you hear, and you kind of see how the thing works, it's really not that complicated. It really can be very, very simple. And if you look at money and you look at investments, you look at savings, and you look at all the different ways to play the financial game, living off the spread is really, really simple. And to your point, okay, that's great. If I don't have a neighbor that I trust, and by the way, I love my family, but don't lend money to your family. Be very, very, be very, very careful on that. That doesn't work for a lot of people. Because you know their blood, and I'm not saying this about my family. I'm just saying that, you know, you see it. There's some family members might not pay you back, but when you have the ability to make 4%, that starts having a huge impact. And so it's just some like food for thought. It's like, okay, what can I do? If the banks are so successful at it, which they are, what can we do to learn how to live off the spread? And just to tie it to like investments and saving strategies. Is that, it is if you have the ability yourself to go borrow at an incredibly low rate, or you just have money sitting idle, whether it's in your mattress or you're safe at home or in a savings account at a bank, if you can take, if you can apply the spread to yourself where you're paying a small percentage rate or zero, and you have the ability to invest it in a vehicle or a savings vehicle that's going to make you 3, 4, 5 or greater percent, that's living off the spread too.
Right.
And so it's just very simple. If you have a loan at 1% and you can lend out at 6, well, you're making 5 on the spread. You're making 5%. It's that simple. And so if you start looking at things in that way, it's like, yeah, to your point, and we'll talk about it next time. The next time will be, we'll talk about, okay, how do we make our 4%? How do we make more than 0.10%? And so I have some really fun, simple strategies on that. And what I was going to talk about, the 0.10 part, real quick is that, or the 100,000, the savings, is that even before you get to the spread component, and today's topic was about the spread, it all begins with living within your means. And so it's very, very important. We have to save money. And I don't care if you put in a brick and mortar savings account. I don't care if you stuff it on your mattress. But before you can even really have fun with the spread, you have to learn to live within your means. And it's very, very simple. You save 10% of what you make before you pay anything, whatever. I don't care if you make 50 grand or you make a half a million a year. For the rest of your life, or if you make 20,000 a year, always shoot for saving at least 10% of what you make and live off the 90%. And then as you start accumulating that kind of money, saving that money, that's when you can start really taking advantage to have that 50, 100,000 plus to start really taking advantage of the spread.
Let's say that there's someone out there in the audience that has their 100,000 or whatever, and they can't wait for the next episode of the soap opera and they want to get in touch with you now. How would they do that?
And go to my website, engineerofinance.www. I don't even know if you're supposed to say www anymore, but www.engineerofinance.com is a great way to find out a little bit more about me and what I teach. That's a great way to reach out to me. Or pick up the phone. Call me. Call me. You'll love how we answer the phone.
It is very nice.
I promise. Or someone's in trouble, you should never, ever get a call tree. You will always get a live, friendly person to talk to so we can set up a time to talk to me. And that would be 775-624-8839.
Excellent. Okay, so engineerofinance.com, engineerofinance.com, or say the number again.
775-624-8839.
Sweet. See, that's what co-hosts are supposed to do.
Perfect. And by the way, because some people aren't the best spellers out there, it doesn't matter how you spell engineerofinance.com. Well, as long as you get engineer and finance right, there's a O-F and O-F-F. Just play it safe. So either way, it's a engineer. You just got to spell engineer and of and finance correctly. So engineerofinance.com.
Wow. Oh, as a co-host, I'm learning I have to know how to spell and I have to know how to divide and multiply. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, today was super fun. I knew it would be, and I had no idea where it was going to go. But I hope that makes a lot of sense on explaining the spread. Any other questions on that piece, co-host?
Except what we're going to do in episode number two.
episode number two. And so just to cut, the next topic is going to be, okay, where do we get our 4% or greater than 0.10? And so the topic is going to be, the next one is going to be, forever I've always used the term piggy bank on steroids. Like, hey, let me teach you. I told you, I've shown you the importance of savings. I've shown you the importance of creating your own piggy bank. And then it's like, okay, well now, why don't we just create a piggy bank on steroids, but to have more fun with my logo. And one of these days we'll do an episode talking about where my logo came from, the T-Rex.
Yes, Joey.
Yeah, Joey. You let it out. Joey the T-Rex is the logo. So we'll talk about the logo, but it's kind of tied to that. And there's a lot of thought went into that, and it's just something I'm so proud of, Joey the T-Rex. But so I've been saying piggy bank on steroids, but to make it clear to people, but even more fun is I'm going to teach you guys how to create a bankosaurus.
Nice.
I'm going to teach you how you can create this huge emergency / opportunity fund by learning how to live within your means and then start looking at different vehicles outside your typical savings account that can have much, much stronger returns that kind of tie towards that, that 3-4%.
Excellent. All right. Well, I, for one, look forward to it.
Thank you. I do too. I'm excited. I had so much fun again. This stuff makes my day. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. It was fun. All right. Well, are you going to sign us off or do you want me to sign us off?
Yeah, you sign us off. I don't know how to do this stuff. You're the professional host. You sign us off.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, for everyone listening, all the fans of Ken Green, the Engineer of Finance podcast, we will see you next time right here on Engineer of Finance podcast. Thank you, Ken Green.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.